4:00 in the afternoon. I call to order the Papio NRD board meeting. Please stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That would be good.
Copy of Open Meetings Act is posted on the back wall of the meeting room prior to turning the agenda for today's meeting. I'd like to announce the procedure will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Item 3, quorum call.
Bagley.
Here.
Bradley. Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Brenwald. Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Sapinski.
Here.
Teaser.
Here. I have excused absences for Director Bradley, Director Teaser, Director Weiss, and Director Grinwald. Adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second. And seconded. Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Bagley.
Aye.
And Shepherd.
Yes. Item 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Fowler, I heard him first. Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Bagley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
And Shepherdson.
Yes. I have your approved publication and notice that this meeting is being held and filed. Item 8, agency reports. First up, Andy Bonenkamp. Is he here yet? There he is. The second time, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if that guy's in the audience, and it'll take me a couple meetings, but thanks for coming. You're on.
Thank you. I appreciate the time tonight. It's good to be back here again. Just wanted to give you an update. I know the last time I was here, I kind of gave you, laid out the vision for NRCS and the NRD kind of as a new district conservationist, and tonight just kind of want to give you some updates to that as well. I'm going to give you the conservation program report, kind of drill into a couple things there, some things that are on the horizon as well, and then kind of update you with some of the staffing that we've got, and then a heads up on our cooperative working agreement that we're going to be working through here in the next few months. The conservation program report, we are currently still taking signups for the CRP program. We've currently got 80 applications for Conservation Reserve Program, NRD-wide. The bulk of those are in Thurston County. A lot of those are re-enrolled CRP contracts. So FSA administers the program. They administer the funds. We just help with the technical planning of that. So we're going to have our work cut out for us here in the spring to get a lot of these looked at and then to follow up by the deadline, which is typically in September. So so that's good. The deadline for that program, once again, is February 28th to for producers to come in and sign up. The EQIP sign-up, we are sitting at 85 Environmental Quality Incentives Program applications right now. The breakdown there, we've got 49 applications in Blair, 18 in Tecama, 11 in the Walt Hill field office, and right now 7 in Dakota City. We've set some pretty ambitious goals in each one of the offices. So we're still kind of low on in some offices, but we've set a sign-up deadline for March 13th, so some of the promotional efforts should be ramping up. And we've been, I know the staff in Dakota City and Walt Hill have really picked up their speed with respect to getting people to come in. So things are looking really well for EQIP. We've got an initial allocation of close to $350,000. Typically, we'll get an allocation and then we'll pick up extra money after that. So my goal is $1 million, but we'll see what happens throughout the year. The Conservation Security Program, right now we're sitting with just 8 applications. One of the issues we've had is that the final rules for that program still aren't out, so it's been difficult for us to really drill into the program guidance, give good guidance to prospective customers. So it's been kind of a moving target, but we are kind of on our way there to, you know, have a successful CSP sign up yet this year. I wanted to touch bases again on EQIP. I forgot to mention we're going to have our local work group meeting March 12th, which is Thursday, from 10 to noon in the Blair Field office. Local work group is basically set up to pull in members of the community, partners to help me and help the NRD provide the priorities for conservation through the EQIP program, and to provide guidance on how we rank applications, what ranking guidance criteria that we can set locally. It's also an opportunity to look at the practice payment schedule that we develop, which is a regional, basically a regional cost share docket that is a 4-state region, and it gives us an opportunity to look at specific practices and prices that we're given and see if they match up with current, you know, prices or current cost share rates. So and then there's also some guidelines that go with that. So there's some room for recommending certain changes to that. And then we're kind of dealing with a whole new set of rules, a whole new set of ranking priorities and methods. So this year is going to be strategically a little bit challenging, but it will set the stage for next year. So I'm kind of looking forward to that so we can really set the stage for next year and be prepared and do better for next year. So moving on, I know I had laid out last time I was here my staffing plan, and I kind of highlighted some things that I was going to propose, and so far we're doing really well with staffing. We've seen a real dramatic improvement in how our HR is processing applications. So it's been a great thing for us. We're going to hire. We've made an official selection for the Takema Field Office, the resource conservationist there. Ryan Johnson, he was a soil conservation technician in the Blair Field Office for a couple of years. He was, I believe he was an NRD employee, conservation technician for a short time, a contract employee for a short time. He's kind of filled a number of roles in our NRD here in the last few years. So he's coming back. It's going to be a great thing to have Ryan back on board. We've also made a tentative selection or a tentative offer for a soil conservationist position in the Blair Field Office, and we're currently reviewing candidates for the same position, a soil conservationist in Takema. So things are moving really well, and we're starting to bring more people on board, people that we really need. So that's a good thing. We're also still planning on advertising for a soil conservation technician in Blair any day. And then finally, just wanted to kind of give you a heads up on the upcoming cooperative working agreement between USDA and the NRD. I know last time, or in December, sorry, the NRD and NRCS signed the memorandum of agreement, which was basically the framework, or the house, if you will, that kind of organized how we work together. The cooperative working agreement is really going to be the kitchen, the dining room, all of the particulars of how we work together as partners in the various field offices. So I'm waiting on my state office staff to provide more details. They're canvassing the other NRDs throughout the state, so we're kind of taking an approach looking at how all the NRDs deal with day-to-day operations, the resources, equipment, all of those things will go into kind of a wholesale list of items that then I can discuss with the NRD here and come up with our cooperative working agreement. So that's all I've got for my report.
Questions? What time is that local that work group thing?
It'll be March 12th, 10 to noon. Yep. Thank you.
Item B, Brass Association Resource District Director Tim Fowler and Lou Teaser. You have to report on the conference.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, it was really good this year because it looked like the majority of us did show up and attend all the various meetings. Nothing really jar-breaking, I think, voting-wise, but it was well-attended, and I think a lot of the new folks got a charge out of it, my perspective. From the item C, from the National Association of Conservation Districts annual meeting in Las Vegas, which we just got back, both Director Spinski and myself, this year's mantra was conservation through innovation. We're using a lot more practices now, utilizing technology. It's not just just practices, it's actually using technology, which is kind of interesting because being on the Urban Grant Program, we already utilize a lot of that, and so they're kind of seeing that pathway forward. I will say also that everybody was really supremely aware of the Nebraska floods from the president of NACD all the way down to the keynote speaker. That was kind of touching to see all that, and it resonated with us, of course. The breakout meetings were all pretty good, from disaster relief on down. I'll let Director Spinski talk a few of those he was at. Did manage to get to one of the outings, which was the Hoover Dam. I've never been to that, so that was just an amazing one of those things you've got to see once in your lifetime. But I'll pass it over to Director Spinski and kind of give your take on it.
Great meeting in Las Vegas. Thank you for the opportunity to go. Tim and I hit most of the meetings. I hit both general sessions and I think three breakouts on disaster recovery. Like Tim said, that was very well done, and I think our staff deserves an A-plus for last March. Kind of fit the bill on what they prescribed as the best method to deal with a disaster. The second general session, one thing of note, it was a presentation by the Walton Family Foundation and the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. And I just think it was interesting. They were pleading, in fact, begging for us to apply for grants. And there were several tables in this room of probably 1,000 people that said they apply every single year. And they don't get them every year, but they get grants. And there's, I think one was $500 million foundation, and the other one was like $250 million. So I thought that was important to bring back. Maybe we can get some money out of that someday, and just another opportunity to serve our constituents. So thanks again for the opportunity.
All right. One last thing on the grant. Since I sit on the Urban RPG Committee, we broke in now. We've done 34 states have taken grants now, and almost 81 contracts now. So it's getting bigger and bigger as the producers and ranchers are embracing the urban connection between us now. So it's chugging along.
Reports. Item D, NRD Annual Washington meeting in D.C. That's usually in March every year. This year, Tim McCormick will be representing us. And I think, Marlon, you're going to represent staff. Congressman, Senator, always a part of the agenda, whether or not you can see him or not. It's another thing. Good opportunity for Nebraskans to folks in D.C. Here's the report. Catalyst.
All right. Thank you, Tim Gay with Catalyst Public Affairs, and David Brock with Catalyst. Thanks for putting that up, Gene. We've sent these out to John to pass along, so hopefully you've seen them. not that you probably took a great look at them, but we'll discuss these bills. But this is our new, not new format, but it's our format. When you get these sent to you, you can just click on the blue. The bill comes up. You can read everything going on. As you go through it, kind of gives a little description of the bill, the committee it's referred to, and then if it's moving, like went to select file, it updates every week. I don't know if you'd want those every week. We might send those to John. But it's pretty good to get a drift of what's going on, clicking on those. So I encourage you to, if something catches your eye, to do that. But real quick, today is the 24th day of 60. My math, that's 40% completed of the legislative session, which is a good thing, I think. There's a couple of things that we're paying attention to next week that are as priorities. Senators have to pick their priority next Friday, so that's going to happen probably here in the next week. They're off tomorrow and Monday for the holiday. Committee priorities and speaker priorities, the speakers have to be in by Wednesday, and then he gets to choose what he wants to do. 25 bills can be anything. And then the committee bills, each committee gets two. So anyway, that funnel I talked about all the time, we're getting down, starting to funnel. We're going to get to the bills. If they don't have a priority, they're probably going nowhere. So it'll be interesting what's going on. I'm going to turn it over to David, and we can kind of go through some of the bills of the hearings that we've been to and help John. John's testified on a few. But, David, you want to kind of go through here and we can tag team?
Sure. So the first several bills that are there are the budget bills that go through the appropriations. You can get way deep in the weeds in there. I don't know if anybody wants to get very far in there. I would also say, and kind of and let Tim, related to the budget, of course, then ends up being some of the other major bills that are going there. There's the property tax legislation is being considered, and so is some business incentive bills. And both of those have and will continue to consume an awful lot of the oxygen in the body. And so it'll be somewhat waiting to see. Otherwise, these three budget bills are part of the standard process, just the way that they're provided. We'll continue to monitor those. I don't know if you got anything to add.
On that, the Water Resources Fund, what gets funded in there. It's the general budget. They want to take any where to be in the property tax on the revenue, but they got to work with appropriations and see where we're at. Right, doesn't affect you, but it kind of does. It affects all of us. But that's all. We'll get worked out. Yep. See what happens.
The next set of bills here, again, just to hit them at kind of a upper level, some proposed changes to the to how some of the different districts are elected. I monitored those hearings. They didn't seem to be very controversial or anything.
Identify the bill number.
I'm sorry. So under the commissions and council, so that 769 and 855, those two bills that were really related to that, just changing some of the requirements, some things that would seem to have been, and to be honest with you, I watched the hearing, but it wasn't real clear from me if there had been an instance where someone who wasn't a resident of the state of Nebraska had been a member, so maybe you're aware of that.
Yeah,
but
there was one guy who moved to Iowa.
Yeah,
so that's a Brian Bartles bill.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have a lot of bills floating around, or solve one particular problem. That's the one thing we were kind of watching, and these are, by the way, too, the support monitor and all that. Monitor on that low one. That one is just a little bit. Come back. It seems like a make work project. A lot of questions to him, or isn't it?
So then going down to the next,
scroll a little bit.
Yeah, scroll to the next page. I don't know if I can do that. There we go.
Thank you.
So the first bill there, Senator Wall's bill,
I did look through it. It's kind of, but the hearing hasn't been held yet, and frankly, the bills that are held in the last two or three weeks of the month here are probably not going to have a whole lot of activity on them in the normal course. 1201 is a significant bill. Mr. Winkler testified on that. I think it, based on what I took away from the hearing, it had some you know, fairly strong support all the way through on that.
Yeah, and I think that went really well. I mean, who could be against it? So to me, this is kind of, but it'll, I don't know if he's going to prioritize this or not. Second one, they've altered 288 LR. It's a legislative resolution. Basically, that would pass, send a note to Congress that that was a good hearing. Who knows what will happen with that?
Yeah, so scrolling down, then there's several game and parks bills. And again, you know, somewhat, as Tim said, you'll have a situation that then ends up spawning sometimes multiple bills. And there have been some issues, I think, that broadly with Game and Parks that then had prompted a couple of bills to be issued by Senator Hughes and others, but in particular Senator Hughes. I think they're somewhat self-explanatory. I've been kind of monitoring them, but the intent there being that Game and Parks would be more conscious of the agriculture use of that land, and so that's where 859 was very definitely in that. And then also some shifting, I think the intent there in 860 to maybe make sure there was some good ag representation within in those particular districts.
And remember about this last time we practice with
So then kind of scrolling down to the groundwater bill, I think we might have talked about that in the past too. Basically 802, from my perspective, largely codifies to a certain degree what's already would be considered common law. Senator Groney's bill, which is one that's designated by the NARD as being in opposition, that bill's hearing will be next week, Thursday, I believe. To make much things happen, and that's and exactly, and then moving on to the bottom one there, and I think that's probably the same case in this respect. That bill, essentially, the current statute would provide that gives the board some or the body, the public body, some flexibility as to whether it's a meeting that you're going to take comments from the public or not. You have to allow public to view if it's an open meetings, but you don't necessarily have to allow public comments. Senator Albrecht is proposing to change that. I think that's also likely not going to.
There's several people opposing that.
Yeah.
Because
opposition to that, League of Municipalities, NACO. Several of those in the budget one we'll get to.
Yeah, so then kind of scrolling up additionally to 1195, so down to further down on page 4. And again, a lot of these, well, the 1195 is another process bill, and the main thing there is it would change the format in which you have to make public records available. It's late.
1072, of course, the bonding.
Yeah.
On that one. So the Hughes hearing. But in general, I thought that went pretty well.
We didn't testify. We just
no. We didn't testify. These were all on the same day. Like on page 4. And sorry to take a little long on this. But anyway.
Yeah, 1211 on page 5. Yeah.
That one's a budget bill?
Yes.
That one is, a lot of people are opposed to that. Do it, that it's not in conflict. Who's doing the budget the same? Couldn't have your budget hearing on the same day. So everyone can go around and talk. But anyway, this is it's a big deal. It's
and then on 1211, when I was watching that hearing, I think several of the members of the committee members made the point, because part of the essence of that is they wanted to say, start out with, here's how much revenue I have available. And I think Senator Hansen, or the way he presented it, was rather than build from an expense up to kind of, this is how much revenue I have available, and what can I do with that? And there was a fair amount of resistance, I think, even from a couple of the committee members there, and expressing concern that, well, won't you just end up then spending all the revenue you have? And again, one can never tell, but that's a committee that has a lot going on. And I'm not sure that I'd see that. His other bill that would add quite a little bit more detail, also as opposed to in 1212, hasn't had a hearing yet, and hasn't even had the dates yet, so it's undoubtedly going to be the last week, so it's unlikely to see much.
Those hearings are wrapping up next week. That would be But in the interest of time, I don't want to spend. I know David. Talked about a team working together. anyway, so all of us are kind of engaged. With that, I know we're windy. Any questions?
There's a bill, and I think it was university, wanted to steal some money from Water Sustainability Fund. I don't remember the number.
Hanson Brooks?
Yeah. And then the one thing you did, the what's happened, unfortunately, a lot of times the senators are. On the Bosselman deal, I know Director Teeter's not here. That one, of course, is. But that's one I'm sure.
Quick question. Hey, Tim, do they have archives of like that, the 1072 bonding bill? Is there archives available that can be looked at online to look at that hearing later?
No.
No?
You know,
Transcript is what.
Yeah, that's all right. I'd be interested in watching the video of it, but
yeah,
if you don't record it, then
you
it's.
You do bring up a good point, though, that. Only the best we could do would be a transcript over the summer when it's really slow. The summary, I thought, was pretty good.
Yeah, that's fine.
It doesn't tell you the gory details, but it would have everybody's testimony
word for word. Just made me think of that because that other bill on the public allowed to speak. And then the legislature has hearings, and you got to wait till November to get the transcript. Anyway,
yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Nine ad hoc committee reports. First one, I ad hoc on the selection. Culverts, Fred Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 9A ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee RFP for a little. Happy with Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Professional Services. Be resolved that the minutes of the February 11, 2020 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee RFP for the Little Papio Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Project Professional Services are accepted. Incorporating these minutes in the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 91, Professional Service Agreement with Thyra Engineering for the Little Papio Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Project. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a professional service agreement for design, right-of-way, and bidding services with Fire Engineering for the Little Papio Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Project for a maximum fee of $560,640, phase one, subject to changes deemed necessary by general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Public comments. Directors.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
indeed, Fred. You're still up.
Program projects and general and operations subcommittee. Be it resolved that the minutes of the February 11th, 2020 meeting of the programs, projects, and operations subcommittee are accepted, incorporating these minutes in the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 9B1, amendment to the local agreement on WP6 and WP7 with the City of Papillion and Sarpy County. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed First Amendment to the Interlocal Cooperation Agreement, Act Agreement, with the City of Papillion and Sarpy County for Papio Watershed Regional Flood Control Detention Basins, WP6 and WP7, subject to changes deemed necessary to the by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Public comments. Director?
Yes.
Kaminsky.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes. 9B2, interlocal agreement with Douglas County for the transfer of Papillion Creek Watershed PL566 structure site D20. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute an interlocal cooperation act agreement with Douglas County for transfer of Papio D20 operation and maintenance release of existing district Papio D20 structure easements and sign of amendment number 11 to NRCS operation and maintenance agreement to remove Papio D20 from the agreement, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
Public comments?
Are they 100% clear? We have absolutely nothing.
All theirs.
They're the proud owner.
Roll call.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 9B3, agreement with Aqua Geo Frameworks for airborne electronic magnet surveys. Recommendation that the district's procurement procedure policy 15.2 be waived and the general manager be authorized to execute a service agreement with Aqua Geo Frameworks LLC in the amount of $1,100,000 and that account number 0105191-4195 NWR contributions and reimbursement cost shares be allowed to exceed 110% of the budget amount up to $330,000, all for the 2020 AEM survey project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
Public comments.
When we do these surveys like this, and they're telling us how deep the water is and how much water there might be in this area particularly?
No, they're really just mapping the rocks and the materials that are down there. So if it's...
How much water is actually in there then?
We use our other general information that we have, which is depths we've taken, right. Depths the DNR has taken.
I was wondering if there's any coordination between water through this method and the wells that you sink down there to accurate this magnetic.
Yeah, they'll take all the available logs that people have put in from drilling wells or that the university has done, and that'll be used in their calibration of what they're seeing for the different materials down there. So all the data that's available is used to make sure what we're seeing is accurate. It is, yeah. Yeah, with the holes we have out there, that's just a small look at what's available in different places. This kind of brings it all together, gives you a view of what's happening across the entire area. And it's a foundation. It's like we're not going to repeat it again and again. It's kind of like having a good survey out there.
Follow up on Ted's question. Yeah. Let's say a farmer wants to drill a well. If we've got this data, he's going to go through a whole bunch of rock. Will this assist him and or her going to this point instead of that point?
Yeah, we're going to make this all available, and we'll actually use it every time we get a well permit in. So we'll look at it, see where they're drilling into, or if they know what they're drilling into, and then, you know, see if we can talk to them. So that way, at least, they're aware that it's available to use.
Any other comments, or
nope, I'm good.
I'd like to add, too, this is a multi-year appropriation, if I'm saying that correctly. $1.1 million right out the door. It's because we're waiving the normal selection process for engineering services. This is a sole source. Time and energy. Hopefully they can do it, so.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Zepinski.
Yes.
Yes.
9B4, conservation agreement, ENS complaint. Recommendation that the board approve the proposed conservation agreement and conservation plan. Find that upon completion of the conservation agreement and conservation plan, Michael Cornwell compliance with the district erosion and sediment control program rules and regulations. And I
public comments.
My name is Spencer. I'm an attorney at Baird Home, 1700 Farnham Street, Suite 1500, Omaha, Nebraska. I represent Mark and Lynn Ondersek and Rod and Catherine Shear in erosion sediment complaint that was filed against Michael Cornwell. The Ondersek and Shears just give a little bit of background, and I spoke to the subcommittee. The Ondersek and Shears live on neighboring properties adjacent to Michael Cornwell's property, and the slope comes directly down towards their and as detailed in the complaint materials, the Ondersek and Shears have experienced extensive and ongoing sediment runoff from the Cornwell property. And I know we have to balance, you know, Mr. Cornwell's opportunity to make a living on the land. We also have to balance livelihood of the Ondersek and Shears. Kind of just one example is, you know, after rainfall, the Ondersek will have to go outside and actually shovel inches of sediment off of the sidewalk as if he were out there shoveling snow. You know, it's become a severe problem. The proposal in the plan before you is just to rebuild the terraces that were into place after going through this process last year. And, you know, I guess that we are asking that more be done than just to rebuild the terraces failed before. The concern is not some sort of cover crop, or as Justin mentioned at the last hearing on Tuesday, a CRP program with some sort of grasses or something else that can really hold the soil. Can help in making sure that we're setting up for success here. I think that Justin mentioned even the CRP would be kind of a win-win because Mr. Cornwell could make even more money off of the CRP program than farming this land. It's a pretty tough piece of property to farm, grow crop. Just again, our goal is to find the most cooperative solution, and we think that either cover crop or some sort of CRP program would be that solution. So we're asking that, you know, maybe either a layover or somehow put in an addendum to this that requires some sort of crop or CRP program. And then just additional few comments, just want to reserve the right to come back if Mr. Cornwell doesn't comply with the agreement. Request, and again, this is an important one, I think. We just want to make sure that NRD staff is consulting with the Ondersek and Shears throughout this process and as the program is implemented with layout and design, because I think that benefit everybody if we're all talking. And with that, I'm here to answer any questions, and thank you for your time and consideration.
There's public comments, and we'll get back to the public comments.
Directors.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Justin, did we have any luck applying for cover our CRP?
Well, I actually have a meeting scheduled with Todd and Michael on Tuesday to further discuss the CRP scenarios that are available to them. But yes, we did find some practices that they would be qualified for. We're kind of looking at a wide variety of scenarios and actually trying to get pretty creative on how we can hopefully do more than just the terraces. Obviously, it's not required per their conservation plan, but it's something that we're strongly encouraging. We're hopeful we can get it done. So,
you think they're open to alfalfa or oats or something like that?
Well, I mean, we're throwing all kinds of crazy ideas at them here on Tuesday. So, you know, I talked to Terry about maybe at post-construction doing some oats and seeing if they could harvest that this year just to get some soil stability, some soil health back out there, some soil structure. Hopefully, you know, we can get them into the CRP program, and then I think that kind of satisfies everybody. But we can only encourage, you know, and that's what we're here to do, and I think we can be successful. Time will tell. So hopefully Tuesday I'll have more. I was kind of hoping to get a meeting before today. I couldn't get them locked down, so I've got all their scenarios in hand, everything that we're going to do on, so I think.
Thank you.
I got one question. He mentioned something about a layover. Is there any reason to lay this over?
Well, I guess that's kind of up to the board if you want to lay this over. The only thing is we're kind of close to construction season. I mean, this is where
the plan that's been put forth meets the statutory requirement of them, the 5-ton or
yeah, the 5-ton. Yeah.
And so to lay. So the other additional measures are simply we're doing what the statute tells us to do. Those are just extra things that, you know, obviously Justin's working on. No requirement that those are a part of this plan. So as Justin said, we're probably getting to the point where if we lay it over, we're pushing the process back, which could jeopardize what we're trying to do to meet the statutory requirements. So I would suggest that we pass it, move forward, and let them work that process, and then go forward.
Yeah, we're not.
Brett, would you agree? Okay.
If it's passed today, we're not just going to wash our hands of it and walk away. We're going to continue to work and try to come up with solutions that work.
We could handle the communication administratively without putting it in the agreement.
Terraces in before you did it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we're gonna have all kinds of ideas. Planted post construction.
Murphy, I can understand your desire to have this as an amendment, as another option, which you did state, but because it's beyond our statutory requirements, I think putting that in there would not be. Not required. I'm hoping that, as we all have done, gentlemanly speaking, things can happen positively. And
I appreciate your consideration. The last thing that I forgot to mention, just to note, during the construction phase, we're wondering if it's possible to include some sort of fencing, silt fencing that would help slow the runoff or help prevent things during that construction phase.
So noted. Again, I don't know if that's a requirement. Yeah, I guess that is.
I don't mean to spring that on Justin.
Justin?
I think, like, with silt fencing, that kind of falls under a lot of that MS4 permitting type construction projects where the agriculture doesn't fall under those permitting requirements. So it isn't a typical practice that we see. Not saying, I mean, the only thing when you do that, I mean, that stuff can be pretty costly to put in. And honestly, you get enough heavy rain and enough sediment, it just blows that fence out too. I mean, we're hoping that we can get things done in a timely fashion to where you can get construction and seeding and everything done fairly quickly. But I mean, you could throw some straw bales up there and hope they hold. But I think from the sediment damage that we've all seen at the Andrasex, that I don't think it'll do much, honestly. I think the biggest thing we can do is get everything fixed and get it back into shape the way it needs to be. Because that silt fence can be fairly expensive too, and we don't provide a cost share assistance. Everything that he's doing now is on his own.
because since we've already cost shared on this project, he's solely responsible for all these repairs. Yep.
Oh, thank you. Yep, thank you. Roll call.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Yes.
Kansky.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Jefferson.
Yes. 9B5. Elkhorn River Stabilization Project 01035474400 account over 110%. Recommendation that the amount for Elkhorn River Stabilization 01035474400 be allowed to exceed the budget amount up to $940,000. And I so move.
Public comments? Call.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
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 Begley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes.
9B6, Urban Drainage Way Project, Tara Hills Park. Recommended that the board increase funding for the Tara Hills Drainway Stabilization Project with the reimbursement amount not to exceed $174,000. And I so move.
Comments? Directors. Roll call.
Yes.
Kaczynski.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
9B7, Professional Service Agreement with Olson, Inc. for the design of Cramper Lake Hubbard Water Main Extension Project. Recommendation that the District Procurement Procedure Policy 15.2 be waived and the General Manager be authorized to execute a professional service contract with Olson, Inc. for the Cramper Lake / Hubbard and Fiddler Creek Water Main Extension Project for a maximum not to exceed amount of $181,100, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as to form by General Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Public comments. Director Gellman, just joking.
When would the Olson start this?
They would start design on it.
Start immediately?
Yep. And
what time frame do they have for completing their study?
So the majority of the study portion is done in about time before we go through our budget.
Comments?
Roll call.
Yes.
Kaczynski.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Yes.
And that completes my report. All right,
good. Item 10, Treasurer's Report. Director Tim Fowler, Assistant Treasurer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item A through J, all inclusive, and reports be affixed and to and made part of the minutes, and I so move.
Second.
Seconded to adopt the Treasurer's Report. Public comments? Director comments?
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Fowler. 11, legal update? None. Chairperson's Report. Happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. please note a future meeting while we're getting done. The General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached is the information education highlights. So the IE department went to up north to visit Arbor Park Intermediate School in Blair and then Homer Community Schools and took some friends with her, some critters to show the students. Also, the district would like to officially welcome Kevin, is it Schimpf? I always mess that up. Is it? Okay, good. As our new water supply operation maintenance technician in Wall Hill office, Kevin started January 6th. He replaced Wally Julin, who resigned last September. Also, a huge thank you to Tom Pleiss. There was a situation where a young man was fishing, and he walked away from his kind of area, and another young man that was fishing next to him threw his tackle into the lake. And so the young man approached Tom, told him what happened. Tom tried to track down the other boy, could not. Tom went home and found some tackle that he doesn't use and replaced it for him and gave it to him. And so his family sent a nice thank you note for his appreciation, kind of going above and beyond the call of duty on that. We also received a thank you letter from Sherry French expressing her gratitude for the way the trails are cleaned up after snow, especially, and then just the interaction with her and our staff during her times that she runs here at the lake. We also collected 4 boxes of household supplies and donated to the Bethlehem House for Women and Children in Crisis, and there's a thank you note for that, and thanks all the staff for participating in that, and Nicole for organizing that. She does a good job doing those things. Also attaches a report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal property, as well as the current ongoing projects with the District Legal Counsel. The Papio Creek Watershed Partnership Subcommittee met in January. The minutes are attached. The next meeting is scheduled for February 27, 2020. On my way in, I got a call from Senator Fisher's office and Congressman Fortenberry's office. They have formally introduced the Relief Act that the district wrote and sponsored, H.R. 5868. It took a year to write it and get it introduced, and they wanted to release it and get a comment in 2 seconds. So before I could get off the phone, I had to give them a quote. I said, I'd send you one. They said, we don't have time. And so I said, I have a meeting from 4 to 5. And they said, well, if the senator and the congressman don't like your quote, we'll call you back for another one. And so I haven't heard back, so the quote must have been decent. So they will be dropped. I think they've already submitted a press release, not in all the Nebraska media, but also nationwide. And what it allows is for local sponsors to be able to do repair work on federal projects during a flood emergency. So, for example, when we fixed the repair at the R613 levee, we did that on our own dime and didn't get reimbursed from that yet. This would allow us to do that work and get reimbursed. Also, the Valley Union Dyke levee, we could have fixed that ourselves, and now we actually can get reimbursement for doing that work. The current process, you cannot. So we have to wait for another disaster supplemental before we submit our request to get reimbursed from the work we did on the R613. With this law, the change, then we are able to do that with the Corps' approval. And so we can obviously respond much faster than they can during a disaster. In fact, they've got levees all over that they still haven't fixed. So it allows NRDs, allows any entity across the country to be able to do this if the Corps agrees. So the Corps kind of considers it a force multiplier. That's what we kind of sold it at headquarters, that they can go do things that people can't do themselves, but those entities that can do the work, then they should allow us to do that. So it's been introduced in the Senate and the House at the same time, the exact same language. And so what will happen is they're hoping to put it into the WERDA bill, which both chambers are working on right now. And due to the fact it has the exact same language, when it goes to conference committee, there should be no debate between the two chambers that it's exactly the same wording, and so there shouldn't be any modifications to it if it goes that far. Keep your fingers crossed, but now it's official. Finally, we actually have a number. We'd like to thank obviously Congressman Fortenberry and Senator Fisher for introducing that. It will have implications far beyond just that. That concludes my report.
Can't thank you enough, John, for your diligence on that, not only for us, but the national effect of the actions is hopefully soon to be revealed. Yep. So thank you very much.
Yep.
Jeff.
I have one question. 613
and 6. No, well, there's work going on where they can. Obviously, we've had, as it gets nice, it turns it into, instead of frozen, it's of just a muddy mess. But there is work going on right now as we speak. So Lindy and I, in fact, did a briefing with Colonel Dayton from the base on last Friday and gave them an update. And so, the repairs are mostly done. There's probably some rocking that needs to be done, but the rehab work is moving forward. So if you want more detail, Lindy can probably give you that. But it's moving along. I'm done.
Thank you. Item 14, informational items. I don't know what you can do for President's Day. I'm going to spend all day doing like I normally do. Having cherry pie and what else?
Thank you, Jim.
We do that. But the offices will be closed on Monday. For your reference, please note the other meetings. And come March 12th, we'll be back again as a board at 4 o'clock. Item 15.